It's the eve of week two of the NFL season. The battle for Ohio goes down this season. Get football in your time with NFL Game Pass. See all the action from every game with full game replays. You can also replay the entire game. Catch all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. It's Locked On Cardinals, the number one non-team affiliated podcast for the Arizona Cardinals. Your hosts, I'm Bo Brock. Give me a follow on Twitter at Bob Brack. Give Alex Clancy a follow as well at Clancy's Corner. Follow the podcast. Great new content going up each and every day at Locked On AZ Cards. Lot to get into today. Are the Cardinals, are they facing a more talented front seven than they did even in week one against the San Francisco 49ers? Were the Cardinals disrespected in the most recent power rankings? And I've got a big issue with these power rankings. And this week, does tight end Dan Arnold need to tap into his sleeper status against the Washington football team? And is there any concern about the Arizona Cardinals kicking game? We're going to get into all of that. Let me ask you, if you're a listener of this podcast and you haven't subscribed yet, wherever you listen to it, if it's on iTunes, subscribe. If it's on Spotify, follow along. We'd appreciate it. Always appreciate you guys tuning in. We wouldn't be the number one non-team affiliated podcast if it wasn't for our listeners. Right, Alex?
Yeah, and we ask you, so first of all, we thank everybody as much as we can. I try to do it once a week. Bo does as well. Everybody that listens, thank you very much. Our numbers are going up and up more and more every year. It's been a long journey over the last four seasons. Bo and I have cultivated this podcast, and we hope that you appreciate our just stability, even though I may go off the rail sometimes and Bo may, you know, try to correct me even though he's wrong. Like, we've really tried to build a solid fan base, and thank you to everybody who reaches out to us on social media. We just ask one more thing of you. Tell people. Tell your friends. If you like this podcast, tell them to go to Google Play and subscribe. If they don't like it, tell them to unsubscribe. It's fine. If they like Cardinals content, they love sports, they love to hear two guys that know each other really well, agree, disagree, bicker, agree, whatever. But all in all, we give you unadulterated, non-fanboy opinions on your favorite sports team. We want more people to listen, and we want you to tell your friends because we appreciate everything that you do for us so far. We just want to build this as big as we possibly can.
This is another way you can jump on the bandwagon right now. If you haven't jumped on already, if you're not excited about, or if you are excited about Kyler Murray, Cliff Kingsbury, and the direction that this organization is going, this is pretty much the spot you can get daily Cardinals talk, all Cardinals, right here. It's Locked On Cardinals, Bo and Alex. So week one, I mean, that's kind of been the reason we're so hyped about this organization. They take out the NFL or the NFC reigning champion, San Francisco 49ers. They send them to 0-1 with a 24-20 win. Obviously, San Francisco, a lot invested in that front seven, and the Arizona Cardinals were able to combat that for the most part. Do they have a bigger challenge on the horizon in week two with the Washington football team? That's your Locked On Cardinals lead story. I'm your host, Bo Brock, along with Alex Clancy. Yeah, so Nick Bosa, he didn't get to Kyler Murray. He still hasn't sacked the guy that he fell one pick behind in the 2019 NFL draft, but very talented pass rusher. He was the NFL defensive rookie of the year. Eric Armstead, Javon Kinlaw, Solomon Thomas. Lots invested in that San Francisco front seven. D Ford, didn't even mention him. There's so many names. But then when you look at their week two opponent, Alex, Chase Young, number two overall pick. He got to Carson Wentz in week one. Ryan Kerrigan, the all-time sack leader for the Washington football team. He had two sacks in week one. Daron Payne from Alabama. Jonathan Allen from Alabama. Matt Ioannidis, who's kind of a sneaky, under-the-radar defensive tackle for Washington. Montez Sweat from Michigan, first-round pick. Is there more talent coming at the Arizona Cardinals in week two than there was in week one?
Yes, and I'm going to explain why. The Washington football team has no pressure on them. Nothing. It doesn't matter if they go 0-16 or 1-15 or what. It doesn't matter. They're a work in progress. The 49ers have this egomaniacal thought that they're going to go back to the Super Bowl this year. So the pressure there is something that could cause some people to tighten up.
It could cause some people just to need, quote unquote, preseason games to get ready. Washington didn't need any preseason games to get ready. They sacked them, what, nine times in week one. And yes, I get it. The offensive line was decimated through injury for the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay. But they did it. I mean, they sacked Carson Wentz myriad times, picked him off a couple times. And with Washington coming cross country to play at State Farm Stadium on Sunday, the reason why I say there's more talent is because it's more raw, crazy talent that Washington has. And they're younger, they're faster. Chase Young looks to be what everybody thought Jadeveon Clowney was going to be coming out of college. Just a mauler. You saw in training camp, there are videos of Chase Young taking grown men and throwing them to the ground, throwing them aside. And this guy's 22 years old. I'm more worried about, especially just this absolute front, the front four, than I was with San Francisco. And maybe it's because, you know, we have revisionist history. Like we saw what happened in week one. So it'd be easier to be fearful of the unknown than what we've seen already. But I think there's more talent coming over from Washington, D.C. than there was with San Francisco in week one.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly on par. The one thing I will say is Philadelphia's offensive line continues to be in shambles, and they're a mess. There's not much of a run game there as well. You know, I think that the Arizona Cardinals, especially with their quick hitting offense, can combat that front seven for Washington. And then once you get past it, Alex, and Philly didn't do a very good job of doing this outside of their tight ends, was their secondary. Their defensive secondary is not that talented. I mean, this is a team that's sent away for whatever. Their starting secondary didn't return from 2019 to 2020. There are some holes there that I think the Arizona Cardinals can certainly take advantage of in the pass game, especially a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. He could have a field day. And you mentioned this yesterday on the podcast, and if you want to have more in-depth thoughts on that, check out Tuesday's podcast, where you think that he could be facing double, triple teams. And Washington, Jack Del Rio, that defensive coordinator, can try to take him out of the game plan. Another guy's going to have to step up. The opportunity is going to be there. Because if you look at the back, you know, Ronald Darby, who wasn't necessarily that successful in Philadelphia, he's playing opposite Kendall Fuller. He's Troy Apke is a liability at safety. I think the Arizona Cardinals have an opportunity, especially with the style where they like to get the ball out quick. They were able to slow down the pass rush from San Francisco. Kyler Murray did it with his quick hitters. He did it with his legs. I think they can certainly do that again in week two. To answer the question, though, is it more talented than San Francisco? Man, I mean, I think just Chase Young's arrival in week one might have given them the edge overall.
Well, and Bill, you brought up an interesting point, and obviously anybody that's watched a Cardinals game since the start of the 2019 season is the quick-hitting nature of this offense, and to the detriment of this offense and sustained drives for a lot of 2019, we saw this ad nauseum. Now, say Washington and Jack Del Rio set up a situation where DeAndre Hopkins will be blanketed for the majority of the game. And blanketed is loosely defined because, as we mentioned yesterday, the top flight wide receivers and the real top flight wide receivers, not the ones just looked at as top flight wide receivers, can get open with a triple team. It's just a matter of finding a way to do so. Now, what I see happening to kind of try and curtail this massive pass rush that the Cardinals are going to find is not only the quick hits, but find a way, maybe it'd be through bootlegs that are set up with stunts or pulling guards to kind of get some balls thrown over the top, which is they did not do that once. Was there one play that was thrown deep down the field yesterday on the fly? I don't think I remember one from Sunday. Now, if you can get Christian Kirk sprung, and you get him one deep ball a la no risk and no biscuit, John Brown or JJ or Jerron Brown down the sideline for a score or for something close to it to kind of keep that pass rush at bay, keep him honest. I think that might be the best deterrent, at least initially. Otherwise, it could be a very long day for Kyler Murray if they're going to rely on throwing the ball 3, 4, 5 yards down the field in an effort not to get him sacked.
Yeah, I also think that they're going to get, as far as opportunities are concerned, just the way that they spread out the defense and the front seven for Washington's not going to be able to necessarily stack the box or traditionally just get to Kyler Murray. I mean, this Cliff Kingsbury's air raid offense, they're coming out in like 11 personnel where it's like one running back, a tight end, three wide receivers. Sometimes they're going, it's 10 personnel where they've got four wideouts and a running back. And Kenyon Drake is going to have the opportunity to run again, and it's not between the tackles, but it's against unstacked boxes. And are those guys going to be able, those pass rushers, are they going to be able to turn into the guy, the run stoppers necessary to slow down this Arizona Cardinals rushing attack? As we've mentioned, Cardinals, when they rush for 150 yards under Cliff Kingsbury, they're 5-1 all time in the last season in a game. And to get that offensive balance, I think that's going to be key for them to come out of the gates, unlike they did against San Francisco. Luckily, they had the opportunity later in the game to get back to it. But that's going to be key, as it is each and every week for this Cardinals offense. It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Please subscribe to the podcast wherever you find it, iTunes, Google, follow along on Spotify. Bo and Alex here. We're going to get into it. You mentioned maybe the tight end, the middle of the field. Is this the week that tight end Dan Arnold needs to tap into his sleeper fantasy football status? Let's get into it. You football fiend like me? This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from players' perspective as they break down the game's concepts, techniques, and learn from the best, like Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. The problems continue to rise for the reigning NFC champion San Francisco 49ers. I don't want to be I told you so. I don't want to gloat about guys' injury. Just want to point out, I mean, this is the ugliness of the NFL. Injuries happen, and that's why sustained success is so tough. So is, you know, the salary cap. And Richard Sherman, the cornerback for the Niners, looks like he's headed for IR. So we'll see what's going on. Also, one last thought from opening week, Alex, and I can't believe we're talking about this. The fact that this is a story that Buda Baker had to deal with the ugly, racist messages. Don't be a scumbag. I mean, it's that simple. Don't be a scumbag. What's wrong with people? I can't believe, like, we don't have to say much more about it. I appreciate the Niners coming out and immediately condemning the statement and saying if they figure out who it is, that guy's never going to be able to step foot in Levi's Stadium. But still, pretty shocking that, you know, here we are in 2020 and that's still a thing.
All racist remarks are gratuitous, but this was something that I don't know how people are raised to think that it's okay to think that, let alone say it. And if you want to know, look on Twitter. Just Google Buda Baker racist remarks, a racist message. And it's pretty...
it's nauseating.
Terrible. Yeah. I mean, it's just something that... And you know what, Buda? I've interviewed him twice. He is a sweet young gentleman who is exemplary at his craft.
Yeah.
Like, we forget that these guys are kids. A lot of these guys are... How old's Buda Baker? I mean, he's got to be, what, 24?
Correct.
25? And these guys have to deal with this stuff 24, like, this is not something that anybody should have to deal with of any, you know, sort of ethnicity, race, whatever. But, I mean, we think these guys are just untouchable. They have armor all around them, but they're human beings. It was terrible to see.
Buda Baker, an absolute beast in week one, 15 tackles. He did absolutely everything that we've come to expect from Buda Baker. I still want to see him be a little bit more opportunistic, maybe get to the quarterback, maybe pick up a get that first interception of his career. Is he going to get it in week two against the Washington football team? We'll see. Dwayne Haskins could give him a couple shots at it. But I want to talk about this offense, Alex. You mentioned it. You mentioned the tight end position, Dan Arnold. You mentioned it earlier this week. Was it game day or was it after? Was it on Monday when you tweeted out, and I think it was retweeted by Locked On Cardinals at Locked On AZ Cards, imagine what the Cardinals offense could do with a playmaking tight end.
Yeah, with a pass catching tight end. I mean, and I got all the flack of Dan Arnold. This is not a Dan Arnold hate site, sir. Like, people were saying tongue in cheek. Dan Arnold hasn't shown us jack. Like, I know that Peter Schrager was the pioneer for this. Dan Arnold's going to be the sleeper of the tight end year. And Peter Schrager's great. He's loved the Cardinals forever, ever since they drafted Kyler Murray.
He was Sam Bradford. That's where I can stop the, like, let's take what Peter Schrager says with a grain of salt. He thought that Sam Bradford was going to be into the quarterback. So let me just point that out. As much as I like Schrager.
Okay. Well, you kind of ruined my flow there. Dan Arnold had a couple cool games last year when the season was over, and he had one catch in week one against San Francisco. I'm talking about looking across the NFL and people not understanding that a fifth-round pick doesn't mean jack. A fifth-round pick isn't going to get you there. But you look at a guy like O.J. Howard. You look at a guy like David Njoku, who's now on the IR for a couple weeks. There are plenty of tight ends that would love to see tight end one targets on an offense like this. And Cameron Brait, anybody that's had any sort of minimal slash sustained success across the NFL, you give up a fifth round pick for any player, let alone somebody that can make immediate impact, it's something to kick the tires on. That's all I'm saying. I mean, there's so many tight ends. Look at how many tight ends Seattle has. Look at how many tight ends Dallas has. Like, it's something that should be looked at way more than Max Williams bringing in Charles Clay last year and then Dan Arnold, who was unheard of until about week 15 of last season.
Right. Dan Arnold, 6 catches, 102 yards, and 2 touchdowns in 2019. I understand where people look at him, the size, the athleticism. He's a converted wide receiver. I understand, like, hey, if this guy can tap into any of that potential, what could be? But we've seen this. We've been down this road before. And this is where you and I are on the same page, where we're scratching our head and we're looking at the rest of the NFL. And the teams are investing more than converting guys from the wide receiver position because there's more to the tight end position than just catching passes. And Dan Arnold, for whatever reason, hasn't been able to find that separation, the ability to get open, and make a significant impact so far in his young NFL career. He was in a Saints offense that utilizes the tight end quite a bit already. You know, he's 25 years old. He's been in the league for, what, three seasons? Sometimes, you know, Ricky Seals-Jones was a guy that had the same, basically, trajectory that Arnold had, where at the end of a season, he flashed, and Cardinals fans got excited, and then he pretty much proceeded to lay an egg and then soon released by this organization. There needs to be more of a significant investment at the tight end position. And the names that you mentioned, absolutely, I'd love to see the Cardinals take a look at one of them. But when I look at this week, and we saw what Zach Ertz, Pro Bowl, maybe he's all pro tight end caliber in his career so far. Dallas Goedert, who's a guy that's trending in the right direction. Big pieces, vocal points of that Philadelphia offense. So to expect that Dan Arnold's going to produce similar results might be too much. But when you see where they were able to find the soft spots in this Washington football team defense last week, the tight end position was able to make big plays. The Arizona Cardinals, can Dan Arnold tap into some of that sleeper status that Schrager mentioned that a lot of Cardinals fans are getting at you on Twitter for this week?
And the interesting part about that, it's a good question. The interesting part about that is, on top of them just being tight ends, they're obviously the number one and number two options for Carson Wentz. They had nobody else to throw to, and these guys were still getting open. So I don't know what that says about the secondary of, I mean, Dallas Goedert had a wide open touchdown catch where he got over the top of the corner and safety on the left side of the field to walk into the end zone. If there's any week to do it after what DeAndre Hopkins did last week, this would be the week to see if Dan Arnold can open up the offense down the middle. I mean, I feel like it would be a lot of in between the tackles action for him, and why the hell not? DeAndre Hopkins will not get the targets that he got last week. That's not to say that he won't again because of one game, but the game
after what, I mean, look, Jack Del Rio is probably salivating. He's like, okay, he's not going to beat us. He's not going to beat us. Somebody else can. He won't. It could be Dan Arnold. I mean, there's going to be so much focus on DeAndre Hopkins. The decoy usage, I'm worried about starting him in the four fantasy leagues I drafted him in, because this is going to be a down week for him, and hopefully it could bear fruits for other guys who get looks. And Dan Arnold, why the hell not? Why not him?
I'm not buying into the Washington secondary that much. I mean, they can double DeAndre Hopkins all they want, but if they want to blitz, I mean, there's just not going to be enough hats to cover hats if they're going to play the same kind of football that they did in week one. Troy Apke was the guy that was getting punished by Dallas Goedert in a couple of those plays at the safety position for Washington. That's a spot that they can exploit. Whether it's Dan Arnold, whether it's Max Williams, whether it's Larry Fitzgerald in the middle of the field, that's going to be some opportunities for the Cardinals here in week two against the Washington football team. We're going pretty long here. Let's get into this in our final segment. Let's talk about the power rankings. Were the Cardinals disrespected, or are they getting too much fluff from the analysts and the pundits around the nation? Let's get into ESPN.com's power rankings. We'll tell you where the Cardinals landed. Was it too high? Was it too low? It's Locked On Cardinals. I was bumming, man. I bought a used truck in November, and I banged up the tailgate. It was going to cost me $1,000 to repair. That was until I went to rockauto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. I was able to cut that estimate in half. For less than $500, I was able to fix my tailgate. That's because chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible, rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everyone and does not require membership or an account login. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On Cardinals and how did you hear about us so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Arizona Cardinals second-year head coach Cliff Kingsbury recently came out and gave place kicker Zane Gonzalez, who missed two kicks in week one, a little boost of confidence, saying they're comfortable with Zane Gonzalez. He missed kicks, Alex, of 49 and I believe 52 yards in week one, and then hit one of the longer field goals in the franchise's history. Zane Gonzalez was actually a pretty consistent place kicker for this team last year. I have no problem with it. I can't believe they brought in somebody. You told me that they brought in Mike Nugent to try out. I don't know. It's kind of crazy that they did that. I didn't feel any concern. I knew that he missed some bombs, but I have no concern going forward with the former Arizona State standout.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you can look at missed kicks a couple different ways. You can look at what Steven Gostkowski did on Monday night, where it's like, is he right between the ears? Because remember, I can't remember what playoff game it was, Bo, where he missed an extra point, and that was it for Gostkowski. Like, he was flawless, like Vinatieri was for a long time with New England, and then something, I can't remember who they were playing. I think it may have been, damn it, I don't remember. It may have been the Chiefs. I can't remember. They ended up winning the game. But that missed extra point just completely changed everything. With Zane Gonzalez, he's got the leg. He's just pushing him a little bit. Like, this is just rust. Like, it's not like he's shanking him. It's not like he's, you know, the lonely kicker, Adam Sandler. The dude can just he just needs the reps to get in. He'll be fine.
I
agree with Cliff. At least for now. Right. I mean, unless he can work two for the next eight or something, which I just don't see happening.
I am optimistic that this team can just be better in the red zone, finding more touchdowns than having to fall back on that kicking game in 2020 than I was in 2019. And there was less margin for error, I felt, in last season. Like, if they missed a kick, it could just spiral, especially with how their defense was playing. I'm more optimistic about the defense and the team's ability to be more successful in the red zone, to where I think that Zane Gonzalez can work out the kinks. And if he misses another kick, or, you know, one or two in the next couple of games, it's not going to be backbreaking for this organization.
Yeah, right. Because this offense is so much more fruitful. Zane Gonzalez should have 50% less pressure on him this year than he did last year to score.
Right.
Because they relied on him so much to keep him in games. He missed 6 points worth of kicks and they won. Like, that's something that was would have been completely unfounded last year.
Right.
So you're right. I mean, it's a different year, and he'll just have to get through the rust, and he'll be fine.
The Arizona Cardinals showing up, moving up the ranks in ESPN.com's power rankings from 19 in the preseason to 15 after the win over the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I kind of took exception to this. Just ahead of Philly, who the Washington football team beat in week one, and sandwiched between Philly and Minnesota. Minnesota lost to the Green Bay Packers in week one, and Tampa Bay at 0-1, Dallas at 0-1. So a couple 0-1 teams ahead of the Arizona Cardinals. And I understand that you just can't put everything into 1 week of football. But as far as the Arizona Cardinals taking out the reigning NFC champion Niners, I thought that they earned a little bit more to be ahead of a couple of these 0-1 teams, including Bruce Arians and Tom Brady's Buccaneers. At this point,
if you had one game to pick a winner, would you trust Tampa Bay or Arizona right now?
I don't know.
I mean, that's not, it's not.
You got Tom Brady looked kind of like a 43-year-old dude on Sunday. He didn't look like the GOAT. Who do you give the edge at quarterback?
Tom Brady, because it's Tom Brady. Like, they had the first drive, the first scripted drive, they marched down and scored. Like, it was the easiest thing. Mike Evans is hurt.
And then what happened?
Okay, then why are you... then you're arguing with yourself here, Paul. Minnesota, I could see. Because Minnesota has a potent offense, but they don't have Stephon Diggs anymore. The defense looked putrid. I could see the Cardinals leapfrogging them. Dallas is... They're Dallas. So they're always going to get the benefit of the doubt. These rankings mean more to the Cowboys than they do to almost any other team in the NFL. I'm sure Jerry called and say, just give us 12. I need to talk to my stakeholders here and just tell them not to jump off the ledge. Just give me 12.
You know, what's more concerning, though, about these power rankings than, having the Bucs or the Vikings or the Cowboys ahead of the Arizona Cardinals is the fact that all three of their division foes are ahead of them in the power rankings. The Rams are at 10. The Niners who lost are at 6. And then Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, who looked really good in week one against the Falcons, are 4th. So you might have moved up the rankings, but you're still in your division at the bottom of the pile.
If you told me right now that the Seattle Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals would play a best of 7 series for the division or something, I'm hard-pressed to say that that wouldn't go 6 games at least.
Wow.
Like, I don't think Seattle... Tell me why Seattle's so much better than the Cardinals.
Russell Wilson.
Okay. So Russell Wilson, the offense, like Chris Carson, I guess has an edge slightly over Kenyon Drake.
I think Carroll has those guys, especially that offense, focused, and they know exactly what they want to do, and they're going to do it, and they're successful at it.
They've also been in the same offense for so long.
Right.
Like, this is,
but I think that's an advantage. And I think that's an advantage. And we're kind of get up against it. I would say, I absolutely give the edge. I was surprised you would say 6 games. It would go 6 out of 7. Maybe that's a conversation we can have, maybe Friday. We're having a crossover with Chris Russell from Locked On. Is it Locked On Washington Football Team now?
Locked On Football.
Locked On Football Team. We're going to talk to Chris Russell. Grow behind enemy lines, as cliche as it is. We're going to do that tomorrow. Alex is going to, he's going to lead us into that conversation, and we might even talk more power rankings, especially those division foes, the Rams, the Niners, the Seahawks, ahead of the Cardinals still. When can they hurdle those teams in the power rankings in 2020? Let's get into that conversation tomorrow. In the meantime, have a good rest of your day. Tell your smart speaker to play Locked On NFL. Subscribe to Locked On Cardinals wherever you find podcasts. Follow on Twitter @LockedOnAZCards. Follow me, Bob Rack. Follow Alex @Clancy's Corner.